Now, don't you feel better that you were able to just let it go and to worship God? Huh? Doesn't that make you feel better? Amen. How many of you really are holding on to God? Amen. No matter what happens, you hold on to God, right? Well, this morning our text comes from Genesis chapter 1. We're talking about the Garden of Eden, so obviously we had to have a prop, right? No, that's not it. That's for Vacation Bible School, and they're talking about Indiana Jones, and if you've ever seen an Indiana Jones movie, they have to have a snake, right? How many of you here like snakes? Well, there's a few of you that aren't too smart, but... Yeah, that's true. This morning we're going to talk about what true success is. So if you open your Bibles and follow along with me as I read John chapter 3, beginning of verse 22. John chapter 3, beginning of verse 22. Now this takes place right after Nicodemus had come to Jesus and was asking Jesus how to be saved. And Jesus explained to him that he had to be born again. That unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And after this, after his encounter with Nicodemus, beginning in verse 22, it says, Jesus and his disciples went to the Judean countryside, where he spent time with them and baptized. John also was baptizing in Ainon near Salim because there was plenty of water there. People were coming and being baptized since John had not yet been thrown into fire. That's kind of parenthetical little phrase there. It doesn't mean anything to the text. It just tells us when this happened. It was before John got thrown into prison. Verse 25, then a dispute arose between John's disciples and a Jew about purification. So they came to John and told him, Rabbi, the one you testified about and who was with you across the Jordan is baptizing, and everyone is flocking to him. John responded, no one can receive a single thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the groom, but the groom's friend who stands by and listens for him rejoices greatly at the groom's voice. So this joy of mine is complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth is earthly and speaks in earthly terms. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, yet no one accepts his testimony. The one who has accepted his testimony has affirmed that God is true, for God sent him and he speaks God's words, since he gives a spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and gives all into his hands. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. Let us pray. Father, as we look at your words this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit would circulate amongst us, Lord, and teach each and every one of us exactly what we need to hear today. Not what somebody else needs, but what we need. I pray, Lord, that each and every person here will be uplifted, will be strengthened, and will be led to a closer relationship with you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. I pray that we will feel the Holy Spirit's presence in this place this morning, that we will just join together in glorifying you and lifting you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me ask you, what is success? What does it mean to you this morning to live a successful life? As I told the first service this morning, I bet I could ask 10 of you here today, 10 from the first service, and I get 20 different answers as to what you think success is. I think if you think about this, success might be to some would be financial security. Having enough money to more than get by. This is the one that gets my wife, because Marcia says, I know we're not supposed to pray for money, and we're not supposed to feel like we're financially well off because God takes care of us. He said, but I sure would like to try once. Others would say that being a success means being powerful. It means rubbing elbows with the bigwigs and those who have influence. And maybe being successful means that we would be influential as well. Some mothers and fathers, I'm sure, would say we're successful if we can raise our kids to become good young adults. So, what are your thoughts? What does true success mean to you? Here in the Gospel of John, what we have just read in these verses, we see a picture of a true success in the life of John the Baptist. John not only told us about Jesus Christ, but he lived a life that we can use to determine a successful life for ourselves. As we read in the Bible this morning, John had an amazing ministry. He had thousands of people coming to him to be baptized in a baptism of repentance, knowing that they had to get rid of those sins, they knowing that there was something better taking place, and John was leading them into that area of repentance, and thousands of people were coming to him. But here in this gospel, we see something starting to change. We see Jesus' ministry has begun to flourish. And John the Baptist's influence is being eclipsed by Jesus' ministry. In verse 25, we read that a dispute rose up amongst John's disciples and Jesus' disciples. And it started when a group of Jews came and began to argue with them about purification. And yet, it's kind of funny because they began to argue with John and his disciples about purification, and yet it turned back into whose baptism was better, John's or Jesus. And you know, doesn't that happen to us sometimes? Sometimes somebody comes up with a little bit of a seed, or they'll come up with a little bit of something that kind of trying to cause dissent amongst us. Sometimes it's called gossip. And they'll come to us and they'll plant that little seed, and if we let it grow, pretty soon it grows into something that we can't even remember what it's all about. And John's disciples had that happen to them. And they went to John and they said, hey, what's happening with our baptism? What happened to the purification thing? You see, they'd even forgotten what brought this whole thing up. And that's what happens to us. We get that little seed, somebody plants that in our hearts or in our minds, and pretty soon it blows up and we're doing something entirely different, and somebody would say, well, what brought that about? And you'll say, I don't know. I don't know if John asked his disciples what brought that up or not, but what brought it up was purification rites. And you know, the Jews had all kinds of purification rites. If you touched a dead body, you had to go through a purification rite. If you had a baby, you had to go through a purification rite. They had all these different purification rites that they had to go through. But John was telling them, repent from your sins and you'll be purified. But somehow that all got blown up into the point where John's disciples began to feel a little bit of jealousy. And they went to John and said, John, what's going on? John's ministry was coming to an end, and he no longer looked as successful in the eyes of the world as he. And even his disciples here at the end of his ministry began to doubt about his true success. But remember this, something for all us to remember. John ended his ministry well. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to start something, but how hard it is to finish? Take, for instance, house repairs. Marcia was always on me when we were living in our house. She was always, you know, this has got to be done. The roof has to be changed. All these things have to be done. Your yard has to be raked. The trees have to be trimmed. And I'd write all these lists down, and I have a list about like this, you know, of honeydews. That's right. And you began at the top, and you began to start one, you know, and that one, usually you started at the worst one, or at least I did. And so you get kind of discouraged, and you never completed that first one, and you weren't going to take on the rest because I never got the first one done. And then it got too hot to do it. And so you started well, but you didn't finish. What about piano lessons? How many took piano lessons when they were young? How many finished them? Some of you did. For me, it was accordion. I told my mom and dad, I said, you know, I want to play the accordion. I thought that was so cool to play the accordion, you know, pull it back and forth and got to play over here and got to play over here. Well, that was my downfall. The first few lessons, you know, were concentrated on over here, being able to play these keys, and you had two black keys you played. One with a little dimple in it, and the one was, I think it was down and to the right from that one. And those are the two keys you played, and then you could play both hands together. But then, they wanted you to add more black keys. And then I was having a hard time concentrating between my left hand and my right hand. Neither one of them wanted to do what they were supposed to do. And finally, I just said, heck with it. I'm not going to. Accordion's not for me. How about diets? How many have begun diets and really had good intentions and you're going to follow through on that diet? There's been so many. Each year it seems like there's a new one come out. There's been the Atkins diet. There's that Nutrisystem. There's a Paleo diet. There's all kinds of them. You go on the internet and you can look at a whole list of them. And I know some people have tried them all. They don't seem to work. So you don't finish. Or how about smoking? You want to quit smoking. And this is mine because I used to smoke. When I was an air traffic controller, I used to smoke. It just kind of was something to take our mind off of what was going on in front of us there. Although you never smoke. You know, that was the funniest thing as I got to thinking about it. When I was working airplanes, I used to smoke, but I never really smoked. I'd light a cigarette, lay it down in the ashtray, and it would go out. But it was just something to do. But you know, I one day I decided to quit. I knew I could quit because I had done it several times. But it wasn't until I gave it to the Lord that I finally was able to quit smoking. Many successful people have lost faith because they did not know how to end well. As Christians, we need to know how to end well. John was a champion, a success, because he ended even better than he began. Jesus said of John, there is no better man that has ever been born of woman than John. John, in this story, was in the twilight of his ministry and life, and as the world's trappings of success and influence are leaving him, what people thought of him and saying, hey, wait a minute, what happened to all that success you had? He gives us four lessons, I believe, to how we can lead a successful life. The first one is this. True success in life begins by recognizing that no success can happen without God's help. Let me repeat that. Is it on the... Yeah, let me repeat that, though. True success in life begins by recognizing that no success can happen without God's help. How often we struggle trying to do things on our own. Now, I can speak from experience, so I know this is true. I tried to be successful at a lot of things. Baseball, bowling. I was not successful at those things because I was trying to do it on my own. To be successful, you have to have God's help. Jesus' followers, his disciples, come to John and they look at him and they say, John, what's going on here? Everyone is going to Jesus now. Very few are coming to us anymore. Why are not as many coming to us? What was wrong with our ministry? You know, as we go to pastors' conferences once a year, we go to a pastors' conference. And for a while, I quit going because it seems like every time you go to a group of pastors, the first thing they ask each other is how many people come to your church. It really bugs me because it's, the people that are coming to my church are there because God brought them there, no other reason. So it doesn't make any difference. If I have five people sitting in the pew, rather than 2,000 people, these are the ones God brought to me. And it's important never to lose sight of that. I want to share a story about my dad. My dad was a Sunday school teacher my whole life. As long as I lived with my dad, he was a Sunday school teacher. And one day I heard him kind of grousing. He's in his Sunday school class. He had about 10 kids. And he was asking those 10 kids, he said, "How's come we don't have more kids? How's come we have such few and we never grow?" And one of the kids, it was like junior high kids, he said, "But Mr. Highland, we're here." And I got to thinking about that. You people here are important to God. That's why he has you here. That's the only reason you're here, is because you are important to God and he wants you to be here to get in touch with him. That's why I say, when we're worshiping God, when the worship team is praying, I want you to just let go. Let God's glory come out. Don't hold it bottled up inside. Worship God for all you're worth. I'm not Pentecostal, but I do like to worship God. And I do like to let it flow. And so I think that's why it's important to understand we're here because God has us here. And then John made a very profound statement in verse 27. He says, "A man cannot receive a single thing unless it is from heaven." How often do we think, man, we have all these things. I've had a good job. I've gotten all these things. I've got, I have my boats. I have everything I've ever wanted. And it seems like you've done the work, but you know what? You didn't receive them on your own. Everything John says that you have came from God. And we shouldn't ever forget that. Even Jesus repeatedly made this statement. He did not act and think or say anything except what the Father gave him. Jesus says, "I say nothing but what the Father has told me. I can do nothing but what the Father enables me to do." We should make that a cornerstone of our life. John is saying, my success has been because God, not me, did it. Jesus also said many times his success was because of his Heavenly Father. Anything you are good at, any gift that you think you have, you didn't just get it. God gave it to you. You are gifted by God with some talents, some success, but you can't take credit for them. You may like to, and maybe sometimes you have, but you got to stop and think about it. That gift came from God. True success in life begins by recognizing that no success can happen without God's help. Secondly, true success in life rejoices in the gifts God has given you. Rejoicing in the gifts that God has given you. Look at verse 28. "You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him." John knew who sent him. John knew who gifted him. John knew what his unique ministry was. He was not the Christ. He was not to prepare the way, but he was to prepare the way for Christ. He was not number one. He was not the most important. He was not the head of the ministry. John knew what he was there for. There is nothing more frustrating in life than trying to be something God did not intend you to be. I want to share just a short story with you about a man. None of you are in here old enough to know who this guy was, but the late Edgar Dwight Jones used to tell of his visit with the famous baseball player Tyrus Raymond Cobb, better known as Ty Cobb. Now, don't shake your head and say, "Oh, yeah, I know him," because I know you're not old enough to remember Ty Cobb. But they talked baseball, of course, while other guests were were arriving, and Jones congratulated him on his playing abilities. The soft-spoken Georgian was in a pensive mood. "I have had a good time, and I have been well paid, but I wish I had been a doctor and had won distinction in that field. Then I could look back on years that had been spent in helping, people, setting broken bones, and hurting people's hurt, and healing people's hurts." Maybe you can look back at your life and say, "I wish I'd have spent my life doing what God asked me to do." And I'm thinking of my grandson, who all his life wanted to be a Marine. That's all he wanted to do. Not only just a Marine, but a recon Marine. He wanted to be a sniper. He used to get his camis on at 4 years old, and he'd go out and hide in the grass with a stick. He'd pretend to be... He grew up and he got into the Marines. But as he was walking up one of these huge hills with a 100-pound pack on his back, in line, in formation, the guy in front of him fell backwards and fell on Trevor. Messed up his knee, messed up his shoulder, and he could no longer participate in the Marines. But you know what? That's not what God wanted him to do. And now he's starting to figure it out. Now he's an EMT, and he's going to be a paramedic because he wants to help people. And I kept telling him all along, God wants you to help other people. That's where your gift is. But some of us, sometimes it's so hard for us to see that because we let our wants and our desires to get in the path of what God wants us to do. Until we finally realize God's in control. The peaceful, most satisfying, most successful place you can be on earth is in the center of God's will. Some of you, I'm sure, have already determined that. Some of you have already experienced that. The most successful, the most satisfying time that you have on this earth is being in the center of God's will, doing what He has designed for you to do. Had John tried to be something other than what God had wanted him to be, he would have been very frustrated. When his disciples came to him and said, "John, everybody's going to Jesus." Instead, he said, "Well, I wasn't supposed to be in place of Jesus." We do not have to get jealous or upset because we do not have the call or gifts others do. Just do what God has called you to do. It may be a small thing in the eyes of the world, but I want to tell you something right here today. I don't care what it is God has called you to do. In His eyes, it's the most important thing. And that's what's important for us to understand. It's not what everybody else thinks of. It's not when you look around, what does that person think of me? What does that person think of me? When I raise my hand and I worship God, what are the people around me to think? That should not even be a consideration. Because it's what God wants you to do. God wants you to do this. And that's the most important thing there is. Be thankful for the things God has called you to do. I'm not a member of our worship team, and they're thanking God that I'm not. I remember when I was in seminary, in Lutheran Church Seminary School, they had this traveling choral group, you know, used to go around and sing at other churches and everything. And I thought, wow, that's great. I want to be part of that, you know. So I went in and tried out. And he says, "Now I want you to sing," I forget exactly what it was. He said, "I want you to sing this octave, so and so and so and so." And I looked at him like, "What? I don't know what that is." And he said, "Well, just sing the scale." I sang what I thought was the scale. And he looked at me and he was very nice. He said, "You know, we have a beginning choral group, and maybe you should try that for a little while." The worship team I had at Phelan Community Church used to tell me, "Sing a little bit lower, you're throwing us off." So I don't have that gift, and I recognize I don't, but you know what? I don't care. I'm worshiping God, and I'm very flexible when I worship God. I can be on any key, any pitch, at any time during the song. I'm not toiled down to one. But it's not my gift. Scripture tells us in Ephesians that God called some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, and some teachers and pastors. Aren't you glad there are different gifts? Wouldn't it be so boring if we all had the same gift and nothing would get done, I can tell you, because we all have the same gift. So number one, true success in life begins by recognizing that no success can happen without God's help. And number two, true success in life rejoices in the gifts that God has given you. Number three, true success in life rejoices in the gifts God has given others. And that's a hard one for us, I think. You know, I didn't get my nose fixed while I was gone. It still runs constantly, even when I don't want it to. Look at verses 29 through 30. He who has the bride is the groom, but the groom's friend who stands by and listens for him rejoices greatly at the groom's voice. So this joy of mine is complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. John uses the analogy of a wedding. We have one coming up Saturday afternoon, and we have another one coming up in August. And I got to thinking about this. John was saying, you know, the groom is... the best man is not the bridegroom. The best man is there to support the groom. He's not there to steal the show, but he's there to lift up the groom. John says, that's my calling. Jesus is the groom. I'm just the best man. I'm here to lift him up. His joy is made complete in the wedding analogy when the best man hears the groom make it through the wedding. And the joy that's on his face when he sees the joy that's on the groom's face. John is overjoyed to hear of Jesus' success. John knows what he is called to do. And he has done it. He rejoices to see Jesus succeed. John sowed, Jesus reaped. And maybe that's the same with some of us too. We're sowers. I'm reminded of that we're supposed to go out and sow the seed, right? We're supposed to go out and sow the seed of the gospel message of Jesus Christ to those who don't know it. But sometimes I think we get frustrated because we're sowing the seed, but we never see any results. That came back to me one time after I'd been in the ministry about 10 years. And I was thinking, you know what, I don't know if my message is getting across or not. I don't know if people are accepting it or not. And then one day this young man came up to me and he said, Pastor Jim, you probably don't remember me. I was here about 10 years ago and I looked at him. He looked kind of familiar. And I didn't recognize him, and now I wouldn't even remember him because my memory is good, but it's not very long. But he came up to me and he says, Pastor Jim, he said, I'm only a Christian, a born-again believer, because of what you said 10 years ago. We don't know how many lives we teach, and it's not our job to know. Our job is to just sow and water. God makes them grow. But we have to do that job. We have to sow and water. If you're doing what God would have you have for you, then you never have to worry about being overshadowed by others. If you are faithful to what God has shown you, then you can rejoice in others' gifts. If you cannot rejoice in others' victories, then even at your defeat, then you're not a success. You're not living up to God's best for you. Do what you can do with all your heart and leave the results up to God. And if someone is better or is more successful, then thank God for them. If your gift is cleaning the church, then clean it with all your heart. Don't wish you could be the Sunday school teacher or an elder or a worship leader. Remember that your gift is from God. And it's so important to Him that you do it right. True success in life begins by recognizing that no success can happen without God's help. True success in life rejoices in the gifts God has given you. True success in life rejoices in the gifts God has given others. But fourth and last, and maybe most important, true success lives to lift Christ up. We have verses 31 through 36. The one who comes up from above is above all. The one who is from the earth is earthly and speaks in earthly terms. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, yet no one accepts his testimony. The one who has accepted his testimony has affirmed that God is true. For God sent him and speaks God's words, since he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life. But listen carefully to what comes next. The one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. A success that does not lift up Christ as its reason and means to an end is not a success at all. True success in life has only one end, only one reason. It's only about one thing: lifting up Christ as your personal Savior. Friends, it does not matter what your gift is this morning, whether it is the plumbing, or preaching, or politics, or police work, or education, or encouragement. Remember this, that gift has been given to you for one reason. Not for anything other than this. Not so you can have your end times prophecy charts all mapped out. Not so you can deliver an uplifting song. Or not to deliver a powerful sermon. It's so you can teach, or so you can teach an enlightening lesson. Or not so that you can build a beautiful building or mop a floor better than anybody else. That gift has been given to you so that you can do one thing with all your mopping, your teaching, your singing, your preaching, your building, loving. And that is with every part of your being, lifting Christ up. And when you're worshiping God with our worship team, you're lifting Christ up. How can you just sit there and not be lifting your hands up to the glory of God and saying, God, you are the most important thing in my life, and I want to give you the glory. That's what the worship team's trying to do, is get you in touch with the Lord. Success is living the good news with all your being. And what is this good news? The good news is this, that God reigns, that he reigns to reveal his glory, that his glory is revealed most fully in the glad submission of his creation, that there is, therefore, no final conflict between God's zeal to be glorified and our longing to be satisfied. And someday, my friends, someday the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord, echoing, reverberating in the white-hot worship of our Ransom Church. And as I was thinking about that, I was writing that this morning, I was thinking, you know what? I can't wait. When we're in church with millions and millions of people, and all of us are singing on key, what a glorious day that will be when we are singing and praising God and worshiping him with all our might, and he's right there with us. But you know what? He's right here with us right now. So think about this. When you're worshiping Jesus Christ on Sunday morning, remember this. He's here listening to you. He's here seeing how much you really care about him. How much you really want to glorify him. How much you really want to lift him up. So what is success? First, true success in life begins by recognizing that no success can happen without God's help. Secondly, true success in life rejoices in the gifts God has given you. Third, true success in life rejoices in the gifts God has given others. And lastly, and most importantly, true success lives to lift Christ up. We all want to have a successful life, don't we? Yet no matter how much money you make or how many people you impress, how much influence you think you have, your story, your life cannot end well without Christ. I want you to listen again to the last part of verse 36. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. You know, one of the few things I've changed in this church is the way we do communion. Remember I separated the bread from the cup? Here's the reason. The bread represents the body of Christ who was nailed to the cross as a propitiation for you and I, a substitution for you and I. We don't have to be nailed to the cross for our sins because Christ did that for us. But the only way to receive that is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so I just want to give you time right now to think about this. As I ask the worship team to come forward right now to close us in our hymn, I want to give you time to think, have I really received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? If you don't feel that joy that's within you, in that gift that God has given you, if you don't feel that today, maybe you really haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so as our worship team closes this, I'm going to just step right down here, and I just want to give you that opportunity to just come forward. And we'll share a short prayer with you and put you in touch with God. But maybe you just have something heavy on your heart that you want to pray about. You can do that too. Just come on down. I'll just stand here at the end. And if somebody has something that's heavy on their heart and they want to ask something in prayer and we can just join together in prayer, you can do that too. I'll be just waiting for you. Whatever it is, whether you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or you just want to pray together, I'll wait for you right here.